minutes, and then we'll, after lunch, try to finish some of these lessons. I'd like to start with continuing this burden in Colossians 1, just a little testimony here of what I enjoyed from this chapter. In chapter 1, before the verses we pray read, in verse 25, Paul writes, "Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you, to complete the word of God." And in the life study, Brother Lee mentions this, that we all are stewards, and we all have a stewardship. And we are stewards of God's economy, which is of God's dispensing. So it's very crucial that we would be filled with the word and filled with the Lord in our spirit. And then to be one spirit with the Lord, especially in our serving the saints and particularly in our being in the summer school with the young people, so that as we are with them, shepherding them, speaking to them, in the small group with them, we are one spirit with the Lord. And so what is coming out is life, is God himself. We are in a dispensing stewardship, right, to give them food at the appropriate time. So our faithfulness and our serving should be faithfulness in feeding them, faithfulness in dispensing to them. And that's really the nature of our summer school. Our summer school is more like a restaurant. We're not just giving them knowledge. We want to give them food. We want to present dishes of Christ and cook up, you know, good recipes of Jesus Christ and feed it to them and all these different kind of topics in these different ways. And I was touched by this, and Brother Lee even gives his testimony. He said, "The effect of my ministry does not have, it has everything to do with my exercise to be one spirit with the Lord when I speak." Mm-hmm. Whenever I speak, I want to be one spirit with the Lord, so that my speaking is not my speaking. It's the Lord speaking through me. And we all have to have that same exercise and that same burden, that we would be one spirit with the Lord. So I'm going to go through not all of the lessons, but a few of them, the major ones, and I may give you the titles of a few, but I won't spend all that time. In the beginning, on this book on life, the first thing we want to cover is lesson 1 and 2 together, and that is on the divine, eternal life, being God himself. Usually, we start every summer school with God's eternal purpose, so we can also, you know, open with that. But the lessons 1 and 2 are on this point that in the Greek language, there are three words for life, right? There is Zoe, Suki, and Bios. And Zoe refers, this is the life we're talking about in this summer school of the truth. We need to know Zoe and experience Zoe. This is the eternal, uncreated life of God. The Greek language is very rich, so we also have another word which English translates life, that is psuche, which means soul life. And we all know we have a psychological life. And the third word is bios, from which we get the word biology. And I like to use this example. You have a biological heart that pumps blood. You also have a psychological heart that someone can break if they don't respond to your advances. And you can't go to your cardiologist for your broken psychological heart. You need the Lord. Amen. I don't think the psychologist can help you that much either. So we need the Lord, right, for our psychological heart. But what we're talking about here is the Zoe life, the uncreated life of God. And this lesson covers experiencing this life. We're not just giving them information about the life of God being eternal and uncreated and you know, everlasting. We want to experience the life of God. And of course, the way to experience this life is to exercise our human spirit, because this life is in our spirit. This life, the second point in this outline, is a person. That's very crucial. It's not just God has life and he's giving you something apart from himself. God is life. And he is giving you himself as life. So the life that we want to experience is God himself, who is in our spirit. He is one spirit with us, and we are one spirit with him. He is the life-giving spirit, right? Giving us life. And so what we need to experience this life in order that this life can grow. And we have a lesson on growing in life. But in this first outline, we do touch this. And then by growing in this life, there is an issue, and that is that we express this life in our daily life. And we have a strong burden about this. Our young people are not too young to express the Lord. They're just the right age. Every saved person is just the right age to express the Lord. They have God in them. They have Christ living in them. And we need to learn how to contact him, how to be filled with him so that he can be expressed through us in our daily life, in our daily living. Sometimes our young people may be, you know, they want to be like their friends. They want to be like everyone else at school. So they don't want to be so different. So they're a little hesitant to give their testimony that they love the Lord Jesus. We'd like to change that concept and help them to realize it's very good for you to testify that you believe in the Lord and that you love the Lord. That actually will save us from a lot of problems. If our friends know that we love the Lord, you know, when my friends realize I love the Lord and I, you know, follow the Lord Jesus, then they stopped inviting me to all the parties and to all the, you know, drinking things and the, you know, when they had parties with drugs and alcohol there, they just, eventually they realized he's not interested and I'm not interested. Amen. So, you know, that saves us from a lot. Our testimony saves us. So we should encourage them, you know, testify. Let your friends know, you know, that you love the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean, you know, that we're odd or we're, you know, it means we're normal. Amen. That's normal. Right. To love the Lord is normal. Amen. To worship God is normal. Amen. And we should not be affected by the tide of this age. So we need to encourage them. You know, and a lot of times that really helps their friends in the long run. Because once they know that, when they suffer through things, they go through things, they will come to you and ask you, can you pray for me? Or they will come to you, how can I, you know, get through this situation, this difficult situation? And they realize that you have a relationship with God and that that can help them and that can benefit them. So we want to express the Lord. And then the... As I mentioned earlier, the main point, I think, of this lesson is life being God himself. This life is a person, and we need to get to know him personally, and we need to spend time with him personally, to pray, to open up to him, to tell him everything. We had a new one in our small group this week, and she said that she had a Christian friend who just told her, you can tell everything to Jesus. You can talk to him about everything. I thought, that's really good. He's a person. You can talk to him about everything. And you should talk to him about everything. So we need to encourage them. He is a person. He's a person who loves you. Amen. With all of his heart. Amen. And we need to love him back, right, with all of our heart. And so this outline and this lesson talks about this life is God as a person. This life is Christ as a person. This life is the Spirit as a person. This is all of the triune God as life. The Father is the source of life. The Son is the course of life. And the Spirit is the flow of life for us to experience. One of the main verses is 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has the life. This is a very crucial verse. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Which means that in God's eyes, our human life is not really life. Our human life is temporal. Right? The only real life in God's eyes is the eternal life of God, is the person of Christ himself. So if we have the Son, we have the life. Amen. We don't have the Son, we don't have the life. Even though we, what do you mean? I'm living, I have the life. Well, we have human life, but we don't have what God considers the really life, or the eternal life. Then we have an outline called maintaining a strong spirit by calling and praying, and being enriched with the word by prayer, reading, and studying, and memorizing. So this is lessons 20 and 21 combined. So right away we want to give them the experience of this life and help them to maintain a strong spirit by calling on the name of the Lord. It's always refreshing when I come to this lesson. Many of us, we've been in the church, many years. I've been in the church life for quite a number of years. But calling never gets old. No. And we can never graduate from calling on the name of the Lord. So we need to maintain a strong spirit by calling and praying and spending time with the Lord. So this covers the matter of calling. Every day we should call. This is the easiest, fastest, and the best way to exercise our spirit. Hallelujah. Now Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, all of our young people in the Summer School of Truth are regenerated. But we need to help them to realize we still need to be saved every day. We need to be saved from so many things. And one, or the easiest way to be saved, is by calling on the name of the Lord. And you can call quietly, and you can call loudly. You know, if you're all alone and you're out here in the wonderful, you know, country out here in the countryside, you can call as loud as you want. The deers don't care. The wild turkeys won't be bothered, you know. You can just, you know. Of course, in math class, you probably can't call too loudly. But you can still call within, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, give me a good memory as I take this test. Remind me what I studied. Anyway, we can call on the Lord to what? To contact him, to come to him, and to experience him. Calling is our spiritual breathing. Amen. Amen. Then it talks about prayer, to contact, fellowship with God, and even eventually to issue in prayers for God's eternal purpose. And, of course, in this matter of praying, we need to help them with prayer reading. I think many of the students, they may know about prayer reading, they pray read together, but we like to take every opportunity to help them to pray over the words in the Bible. Amen. Particularly to learn how to pray read by themselves in their morning revival time. Personal prayer reading, which is totally different from the corporate prayer reading. But, you know, if you're with the eighth grade boys, it's not bad in your small group just to pray read for 5 or 10 minutes with them in small groups and have them really contact the Lord and touch their spirit and enjoy praying over the Word of God. Amen. So, in the second point about being enriched by the Word, we need to help them to see that God has given us two tremendous gifts. One is the Spirit within, and the other is the Word outside of us. The Spirit is abstract, invisible. He's real, but he is still not so tangible physically. But the Bible is very tangible. Amen. And physical, right? You have the physical Word on the paper. The Bible is very easy to contact. So we need to use our spirit to contact the Word, which is spirit and life. And then, by exercising our spirit to contact the Word, we have a wonderful footnote that says, we get the divine fire, like the matches, right? Striking the match against the phosphorus and pew, you get the flame, right? We need to strike the spirit of the Scripture with our spirit to get the divine fire. But we could be burning in spirit and contact the Lord in our spirit. I remember when I first came into the church life and started to pray read, prayer reading revolutionized my Christian life. I mean, I can't describe what a difference, you know. Before I came into the church life, I knew John 15, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me. I knew these verses by heart, by memory. But I remember early in my church life, pray reading over those verses one morning. I mean, it's like the word just leapt off the page. Hallelujah. It's like God was speaking directly to me. I thought, wow, what is this? This is powerful. Because you touch the word, which is spirit, with your human spirit. We need to help them. And we hope that we could have them practice during the summer school. Of course, this lesson uses John 6:63. The word is spirit and life. And it talks about the function of the word. We're regenerated by the living and abiding word of God. This is one function. And it is milk to nourish us, 1 Peter 2:2. It's the bread of life, Matthew 4:4, to feed us. We can be strengthened by eating the word of God. And then the way to receive this word is by the Spirit, by prayer reading Ephesians 6:18. So this is a very important chapter. Then we come to lessons 3 and 4 are combined on three lives and four laws, and the light of life, the law of life, and the light of life. These are two things that are combined here. This is an important lesson to help them to realize that we have three parts, right? Body, soul, and a spirit. And there is a law in each one of these parts. There is a law. First of all, the four laws, one of the laws is not in us, it's outside of us. That's the law of God, right? Like the Ten Commandments. God has his law, which is outside of us. But we also have the law of good in our mind. Every person, inwardly, in their created human life, created by God, and has this desire to do good, to do the right thing, to be good. We have the law of good. But in our flesh, in our body, in our fallen part, there is the life of Satan, which has a law, which is the law of sin. So we have the law of good in our mind, but in our flesh we have the law of sin. And we cannot overcome that law of sin. It's stronger than the law of good in our mind. But in our spirit, we have the law of the spirit of life. Amen. Or the law of life. Amen. And that law is stronger than the law of sin. Amen. So Romans 8:2 tells us that we can overcome the law of sin by the law of the spirit of life. So we need to help them to experience this law of life and to turn to their spirit to overcome the temptation of the law of sin. And we often use this word, this kind of description of these laws are like the physical laws in the universe. This is not just, this is not the law of God, you know, do this, don't do that. The law of sin is just powerful. And like gravity, we cannot overcome gravity. Mm-hmm. But there is a law that does overcome gravity, and that is the law of aerodynamics. And if you apply the law of aerodynamics, I'm not a physicist, I can't teach you about this, but anyway, every time I get in an airplane, I praise the Lord for the law of aerodynamics. Yeah. That, you know, thrust plus lift then allows you to overcome gravity while this law is operating, right? While this law is operating, you just overcome gravity and you can fly to Germany. You can fly to, you know, the West Coast. That law always operates when you fulfill the, right, the thrust plus the lift. It's the same with the law of life. When we experience the law of life by turning to our spirit, spontaneously we overcome the law of sin and death. You don't have to try. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to fight. You just have to get to your spirit. And your spirit is a law. And it operates automatically. It operates spontaneously. So this is a very big point in this summer school. We need to experience life to overcome the law of sin and death. Right? How? Not by fighting, by struggling, by, I don't know, memorizing 100 verses. No. Memorizing verses is good. But you just need to turn to your spirit. Amen. In your spirit is the law of the spirit of life, which overcomes the law of sin and death every time. Amen. Spontaneously, every time. It is amazing.
Amen.
I was on a phone call this week, and I was about to lose my temper. I was really mad at this person on the other end of the phone, on the phone with me, because he was accusing me of lying. Oh, don't accuse me of lying, okay? You know, I don't know if he's a believer or not. My guess is he's not. Anyway, don't, you know. And I was about to say, don't you ever dare accuse me of lying. I was going to let him have it, you know. But inwardly I thought, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
My temper. And just turning to the Lord. What happened? The law of life.
Amen.
Spontaneously.
Amen.
No more hate. No more anger. I wouldn't say I hated him. I just was going to be mad, you know. No more temper. It just vanished. So I avoided the temptation to, you know, put it to him. Anyway, the law of life works every time. You just need to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Turn to the Lord. So this life talks about this lesson talks about these three lives and these laws involved in these life. And then it goes on to describe the law of life in more detail and also the law, the light of life. This law of life, this law of the Spirit of life is also the light of life. If we contact the Lord in our spirit, we should be in the light, right? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, meaning if we contact the law of the Spirit of life in our spirit, we will be walking in the light. And the light always overcomes the darkness. Amen. So this is three lives and four laws. Then we come to lesson five on the growth in life, and we have combined that in this outline with having a normal Christian life. It's normal for us to grow, right? And the growth in life is no different. It's normal for us to grow in life. So the first half of this, the first half of this outline is related to the growth in life. First, we define the growth in life. The growth in life is not the growth of knowledge. It's the growth of the stature of Christ in our experience. It's the growth of God in Colossians 2:19. We grow with the growth of God. It is the experience Brother Ricky talked about. If we could have growth in life meter with our students, right? That if in our class we minister God to them, we minister Christ to them, they enjoy the Spirit in our class, there will be more growth of God. That's what we all need. We need to, until we all arrive at a full-grown man. I've been touched by this in this recent conference, right? The brother shared with us, for the Lord to come back, He needs the bride. For the bride, He needs the building up of the body. For the building up of the body, we need to grow in life.
Amen.
So that we all can arrive.
Amen.
At the fullness of the stature of Christ, right? We need all to arrive at the oneness of the faith, at the fullness of the stature of Christ. That really struck me. It's not individually. Yes, we need to grow individually. But what we really are burdened for is that we all would arrive.
Amen.
For the body to be built means we all are arriving. Right? For the bride to be prepared. We all, as the churches, have to be prepared. But we need to care for one another, and that includes our young people.
Amen.
That includes our children. We need to labor and struggle that they would grow in life, to be filled unto all the fullness of God. Amen. Now, it also not only defines what the growth of life is, but it mentions the way to grow in life is to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Every day, and living according to the Spirit, and remaining in the fellowship of life, and by fleeing all the negative things, right? You have that verse, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee, right? with those who call on the name of the Lord. Flee all the negative things and pursue with your companions. Amen. And it talks about this being the experience of life, is to experience God, to experience Christ, and to experience the Spirit. We are experiencing the triune God. Then the last part of this outline talks about living a normal Christian life. And this is referred a little more. We also have living a normal church life. That's later. But this is more on the individual side of, number one, loving the Lord. I don't think we can overemphasize this point with them. We need to help them to love the Lord with all of our heart, right? Mark 12:30. We also need to be constrained by the love of God, to live to Him. We need to love the Lord. In my experience, if you really love the Lord with all your heart, almost all the problems in your daily life will be taken care of. As Brother Ricky mentioned, the heart is the key. If our heart is loving the Lord, then our heart is open, so the Lord can take care of whatever needs there are. And He can deal with different things that are frustrating our growth in life and are going on. Loving the Lord is the number one item in this lesson. Then, of course, it mentions more about our daily life. We need to be revived every morning, spend some time with the Lord, overcoming every day, abiding in the fellowship of the Lord throughout the day, and be praying persons, learning to walk by the Spirit in our daily life. And then, eventually, out of that, there is an issue of living Christ for His magnification by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So this is related to our life practices in the day, right? Every morning have a good morning revival, or however you know. I mean, with our students, many times it's maybe on the bus on the way to school, but anyway, be revived. Get some time with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord. And then learn to follow the Spirit. Learn to walk by the Spirit and abide in the Lord during your daily life so that He can be expressed through you and He can be magnified in every situation. This is, I feel that, we often compartmentalize our life. We're one way in the church meeting, and we're one way at school, another way. And we may be another way with our family. We may be kind of have like three personas kind of, In the church life, we know our young people, they know how to behave. They know what to do. And so they just kind of, that way. And then we may mistakenly think everything is fine. But then when they're with their friends, they're different. And they act differently, and they're, they don't experience the Lord much when they're with their friends. This is we have to face this, right? And even at home, they may be different. You may think they're okay at the meeting, but I mean, we parents know at home they're not always the same. They're kind of different, compartmentalized. But we want to help them to realize being a Christian is 24 hours a day. And we should be the same in our meetings, with our family, in our daily life, with our friends, and at school. We should learn how to contact the Lord, how to abide in Christ. We're Christians when we're with our friends, but we want to hide it sometimes. We're afraid of being different. We need to help them. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Actually, the fact is, you are different. Amen. Why do you want to be the same? You are different. You have God living in you. So it's good to let people know and testify so that we can have a normal daily life. Because Christ is expressed where? Not just in the meetings. Christ may be expressed more in your daily life. And actually, the meetings are a reflection of your daily life. If your daily life is not filled with the Lord, if you're not experiencing the Lord in your daily life, when you come to the meetings, it's just a performance. It's not real. right? Our Lord's table meeting should be an expression of our being victorious in our daily life. So we can praise the Lord for his victory in our daily life.
Amen.
That's real. That's what shuts the enemy's mouth. But I'm afraid too often we're defeated in our daily life. And we come to the meeting and we try to, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me, and you know. Then we have genuine experience of the blood. So we can praise the Lord for the blood.
Amen.
But we may not have that much experience of overcoming the devil's attack and his temptation, right? We need that kind of experience. Then we come to the Lord's table. Praise you, Lord. You are the victorious Christ.
Amen.
And that is real because you overcame him, right? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If our young people can learn to overcome the temptations in their daily life, to overcome even their friends' temptations to try to drag them down, if they can experience the Lord in that, my, the Lord's table will be real to them. And they will be expressing the Lord in their daily life. So the daily life means, to me, it's so crucial. We need to help them, right? To realize they are the same person. Christ lives in them. He is the hope of glory in them. So we need to learn how to abide in him in our daily life. Then we have an outline on the sense of life. This is a very important lesson. The sense of life and obeying the teaching of the anointing. And we have another outline on the fellowship of life and obeying the teaching of the anointing. So these two things. Now, these we have combined lesson 7, the first half, and lesson 10, the first half, on the sense of life. And then the next one, the next outline is on the fellowship of life. We combine the second half of lesson 7 and the second half of lesson 10 for the sense of life and obeying the anointing. Because the anointing is related to the sense of life and related to the fellowship of life. But the verses are different, and the sense of life and the fellowship of life have a distinction in our experience. Now, I feel these two lessons are very crucial. If we can help our young people to know the sense of life, and by knowing the sense of life, I mean knowing the sense of death is about as important because that is easier for us to sense than the sense of life. The sense of life is peace, and satisfaction, and joy, fulfillment. You feel happy within. The sense of death is emptiness and depression and pain and struggle. And that's easier for us to sense, to know that. Every life has a sense. And we want to help our young people to know the sense of this Zoe life. You know, the Lord has feelings about everything we do, everything we say, every place we go, everything we think about. He is interested in every aspect of our life, of our daily life. And there's a sense of life that goes with that, right? And the main verse for this is Romans 8:6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. This sense of life is life and peace. Mm-hmm. And the lesson book gives you all these details about what is this sense of life. And we need to help our young people with this. If they really know the sense of life and they want to learn to obey the sense of life and follow the anointing according to the sense of life, this will save them from so many things. So many things. We don't know where they go with their friends. Even as parents, we can tell them, don't go here, don't do that. But you know, they find ways to do this. I know when we were, you know, I only have 5 kids, so don't have too much experience. But anyway, you know, and in the early days, we wouldn't let our kids watch certain television shows and go to the movies and stuff like this. But they find a way. Oh, they find a way. They know how to find a way. They would go to another saint's house to watch that TV show. And you tell, where are you going? Oh, I'm going over to so-and-so's house. And we were happy. Oh, praise the Lord, are you going? Meanwhile, they're going there to watch Power Rangers or something, you know. That was one of the things we wouldn't let our young kids watch. Anyway, or they would say, oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go to the mall with Sister So-and-so. Oh, great, going to the mall. They're going to the mall to watch the movie, okay? So they lie by telling the truth. They told the truth they were going to the mall with Sister So-and-so. But they left out the part about, we're going to see, you know. So anyway, they're slick, okay? Now, but if they know the sense of life, they may plan. But when they walk into that movie theater, they may have the feeling, oh, Lord Jesus. And then the sense of death is immediately there. And if they're careful, if they care about that, they might say, ah, I can't do this. I can't go there. And this is very real. And this is a very good opportunity for testimonies. We're not preaching something to them. You have experiences of this. And you can tell them about this. I mean, I remember going in college, I was invited to this party, and, you know, they say the party starts at 9 o'clock. Me, I'm such a dumbo, I go at 9 o'clock. Nobody's there at 9 o'clock. I'm the only one there, and, you know, so I'm there, and as I'm there, the host is preparing some food and so forth, and I just have the feeling I should leave. The sense of death was so strong. I'm not even in the church life yet. I'm just a believer. But I just had the sense from the Lord, get out of here. And I'm just fighting. I'm saying, but what do you mean? I'm the only one here. How am I going to, you know, it's not like I can, he's going to know I'm leaving. Get out. Get out. So I just, you know, told him, oh, I'm sorry. I got to go. I forgot. I have to do something, you know. Said something. And so I left. And as soon as I walked out, life and peace. Life and peace. And then I found out what happened that night. I mean, the police raided that party. It was a bad deal. And the cops came and, you know, a whole bunch of things. So, you know, God is real. Amen. And he wants to save us from a lot of things if we know the sense of life. And, you know, saints, we have to know the sense of life before we talk to them about it. We have to live by this sense of life. And as parents, it's the same. We have to, you know. And if they see that you live by this sense, that will help them to realize it's real. It will help them. And when they experience, they know, this is real. This is real. God is real. And he has to be real to them. And oftentimes, Brother Ricky helped us with this Psalm 139. It seems like in the meeting, the Lord is not that real. I don't know. You know, you don't sense too much. But in Psalm 139, it says, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. When I went to that party, God was much more real than when I was in the meeting. Yeah. Right? That's the sense of life. God is very, very real. Amen. So we need to help them with this sense. The negative verse is Ephesians 4:19 that says, the Gentiles who being past feeling, no feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. And this is true. The unbelievers, the people in the world, they're past feeling. Their conscience is so numb, it doesn't matter to them. They can sin and sin and sin, and they don't have any sense that this is terrible. And we have to be careful. If we push that feeling away, if we push it down, eventually it's like being seared with a hot iron, and you don't have any feeling in your fingers. And that's terrible. That's terrible, because you can really damage yourself. We have to help them take care of your conscience so you wouldn't be past feeling. Of course, the source of the sense of life is the life of God, the law of life, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and God. And the function is to let us know continually whether we are living in the natural life or whether we're living in the Spirit, is to let us know where we are. Are we in the flesh or are we in the Spirit? Then obeying the sense of the anointing, we have an anointing, 1 John 2:27, and amen. The purpose of God's salvation through the anointing is for God to work himself into us and be mingled with us. And the function of the anointing is just to anoint God into us. It's like the painting of an object over and over and over again. The more we obey the anointing, the more anointing we receive. And the more of God is added to us and fills us and saturates us. And we need to obey the teaching of the anointing. Then the next lesson that we cover generally is the fellowship of life and obeying the teaching of the anointing. In the fellowship of life, we have a very important point that we want to cover in this summer school, and that is to define fellowship. Define fellowship. And we have marvelous footnotes in 1 John 1, 2, and 3 on this point. Fellowship is a joint participation in something. We are fellowshipping with God and with one another. That means we're participating in the reality of God. Somewhat like a love feast, you know. When you go to a love feast, all the dishes are there and you go and you get your food and you're participating in this food with all the brothers and sisters. It's a joint participation. It's an enjoyment of the riches of this love feast. And the fellowship of life is the same. The apostle writes, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we have fellowship with you. We report this to you, that you may have fellowship with us. So this fellowship is both vertical, right? And it's with the believers, horizontal. So you have both of these things going on at the same time. This is the joint participation, the common participation in the flow of life. The fellowship of life is like a river flowing. And when we partake of that, when we join in that flow and touch that flow in our spirit and enjoy that flow, we are in the fellowship of life. And that flow carries us and fills us and supplies us and meets our need. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. But the common thought about fellowship, particularly I think with our young people, is I need some advice. Can I call you? I want to have some fellowship. Oh, amen. No problem. And so then, you want to have coffee? Okay, good. We go, we have coffee, and I'm thinking about buying a Toyota or a Ford, and I'm not really sure which one to buy. What do you think? Well, I thought this was fellowship. It's just advice, you know. I mean, there are things we need to help them, you know. I'm trying to decide between these two colleges, what you're feeling. Yeah, we need to fellowship. We need to help them. But our fellowship is not to give them advice. If we really want to help them have fellowship, we want to bring them into this love feast. We want to bring them into this flow of life. I don't know which car. Let's pray. The Lord may have a feeling about one or the other, or which university to go with, or what course to take, or what should you do. Oh, I got two job offers. Which should I take? Let's pray. Let's have fellowship. And to try to help them to realize this is what we mean by the fellowship of life. We're participating together in the flow of life, which is God himself. In the move of God himself, we want to have fellowship. And in that flow, in that time of fellowship, you may get clear about your decision, yet the brothers don't say one word about whether you should buy a Ford or a Toyota. But you just may be clear. And that happens to us very often. I come to have fellowship with the brothers, and they just, are burdened to pray with me about this decision or this thing, and we pray together, and touch the Lord together, and maybe we read a verse together. We just have some fellowship. And then afterwards, sometimes they even say, I'm sorry, I don't know if that helps or whatever. But in that time of the flow being in the flow of life, I just get clear. I feel like, this is what I should do. This is what I should do. You know, often with the seniors, of course, now they've all decided where they're going to go to school. But, you know, in the spring conference, some of them are not so sure. We have some fellowship with them. I just encourage them, pray a lot, but don't pray about your college decision. And then that confuses them often, you know. What do you mean? I'm that's my problem. I don't know where to go to school. Yeah, but don't pray about that. Just pray to enjoy the Lord. Just come to the Lord and enjoy him. Get with your companion and enjoy him. And forget about the thing. You'll know. How are you going to know? I mean, this is, you know. How are you going to know? Just trust me. Just enjoy the Lord, and eventually you will know. How will you know? Life and peace. When you think about this school, you just have peace. You think about that school, even though it might be a better school, it might be, I don't know, closer to home. I don't know what all your criteria is, you know. It might be, you know, they're a Division I team. They've got really good sports, you know. Yeah, they're ranked, you know. And they have a famous name. When you say, I'm going to what university, people go, whoa, wow, you must be really good, okay. It may have nothing to do with that. You just have no peace when you think about that. You know, I lived in Manhattan for many years, and then I got married, and Kathy moved in. We lived in Manhattan, and we had two children there, and we're thinking about the third child, and so we thought, wow, this two-bedroom apartment is really good for two kids, but we didn't have as much grace as Roger and Michelle to have four kids, you know, in the apartment in Manhattan, but anyway, so we thought about moving. And so we were looking at houses in Nassau County and in Queens. And, you know, it's very close to each other. I mean, we're talking about like between, you know, 2 miles from each other. But for some reason, we just had, the Lord just kept saying, Queens. And we didn't want to go to Queens. We wanted to move to Nassau County. The schools are better. There's all kinds of good reasons, you know. But eventually the Lord just kept saying, Queens. And the peace and the life was to buy a house in Queens. And we're happy we're in Queens. Why? Because we're in the fellowship of life. And we learn to follow this sense of life and be in the fellowship of life. And that didn't come out of any, you know, like someone, you know, you make the list and, you know, it wasn't that. When you touch the Lord, there's just a flow there. And you just follow the flow. Follow the sense of life within. So I feel this is a very helpful thing. Of course, we always use this negative word. This is not fellowship. A lot of times the young people come and they say, oh, I absolutely have the peace. Oh, the sister's the one for me. I know she's the one. And I'm going to, you know, this is, so, you know, I just want to have some fellowship about whether I should marry her or not. But I know it's right. I know I have the full peace. I'm absolutely clear. I am clear. Whenever that happens, I go, you don't know what you're talking about. And this is not fellowship. This is fellowship. What can you do? You just, you know. So you just say, amen, brother, amen. But I always say at the end, I say, but if you ask her to marry you and she says no, then you have to understand, that's the Lord's will. I don't care how much peace you have. If she says no, that's God's will. So be ready. So, you know, it's good to help them. It's good to help them to realize fellowship is not advice, you know, but it's this flow of life. And then a very important point is this, 1 John 1:7, there's a very good footnote on this cycle of life, right? We have life, and this life issues in the fellowship of life, which is the flow of this life. And this life is also light, so the next part of the cycle is to be enlightened by this. When you're in this fellowship, the light comes, and your sins are exposed, your shortcomings are exposed, so we need to repent and confess. And by repenting and confessing, we apply the blood. That's the next part of this cycle. And when we apply the blood, our sins are forgiven. The Lord forgives us and cleanses us, and we get more life, which is the first point, right? Now we have more life. So that more life gives us more fellowship of life, which brings us more light. And then we have more need of the blood, so we confess and we take the blood more, and we get more life. This cycle never ends in our Christian life. We have a lot of sins, a lot of shortcomings, but the Lord never exposes them all at once. We would die if he did that. I mean, I don't think we could, any of us. Okay? Oftentimes I think, Lord, why aren't you just told me about this one sin. I've got thousands of sins. And you know, but the Lord's just interested in that one today. So we just take that, take the blood, and more life. The goal is to enjoy life and to fellowship in this life. Then the light comes, okay, we need to confess, we take the blood, but the goal is more life. This is a cycle of our growth in life. Okay? Then it talks about the relationship between the anointing and the fellowship of life and obeying the anointing, and this is somewhat related to the others. So I think that's about all we can cover in this session. We'll try to come back and finish up after lunch, right? So want to have a little prayer, two by two? Let's have some prayer, two by two, and then we'll break for lunch and we'll come back, 1:30. We'll come back at 1:30. Amen.